It's the Kim Munson Show.
The Washington Times said that patriotic Americans donated U.S. flags after protesters raised the Mexican flag over the ICE facility.
Analyzing the most important stories.
It is not fair that people come in illegally and they have 3 square meals a day, TVs and all. There's something that is wrong with this picture.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
When we get into conversations with people, you can get real bombastic with each other because you haven't read it. You don't know what you're talking about.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
So if you understand the issue, then you can have calm, reasonable conversations.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. This is Kim Munson, and that is what we're always going to be asking. Is it freedom or is it force? And we see this romance with socialism in our country today. And socialism ultimately comes down to force. And deception is many times used to push that force forward. We're seeing something happen here in Colorado. I'm going to talk about it in just a minute. That is very, very troubling. But welcome to the show. We've got a big show planned for you today. And if something's a really good idea, you don't have to be deceptive about it, and you don't have to force it. And so in this third and fourth segment, we will be talking with Tristan Justice. He is an author with The Federalist. And, you know, this whole Ukraine narrative that is out there and the whistleblower, you know, Donald Trump actually just he went ahead and just released the transcript of what that phone call was. And what we saw is some deception around that whole thing. And so we will talk with Tristan Justice about that. He's got a couple of important pieces in The Federalist. And so that'll be in the third and fourth segment. Before we jump in here, though, hey, I want to say thank you to the team, producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. Thank you for all of your great work. And producer Steve, it's great to have you behind the boards.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Like I say, good to be seen.
That's for sure. And to each of you listeners out there, I greatly appreciate you. I really love hearing from you. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And that's M-O-N-S-O-N. And then my website is kimmunson.com. And man, I tell you, it is a beauty. Zach has built something truly amazing there. And then my other website is America's Veteran Stories with Kim Munson. So be sure and check those out.
Hey, Kim.
And
Can you take a second to mention that thing that you texted to us all yesterday without mentioning the other station? Can you talk about that at all?
Oh, let's see. Let me see if I can find that text without, here we go.
I mean, you talk about listeners and their support of the show and their response. That was stellar.
Okay. This was from, this was on Facebook. Somebody posted, he said, "So grateful for this show. I was scanning the radio trying to find any point of view supporting my parental rights regarding vaccines. I came across you, and now I am a huge KLZ fan," and said that he was moving over his listening from one of the other stations. And boy, I love that. I truly love that because we are searching for truth on each of these issues. So I'd love to hear from you.
I thought the particular, I mean, without mentioning the other station, really, I'm turning my allegiance over to KLZ away from that station because of their rhino philosophies or tendencies, let's say. And I thought, oh, no, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. And you know, I would say, you know, we have these terms, Steve, rhino and all these different terms. I've tried to figure out who exactly I am. I've said I'm a conservatarian. You know, conservative, all of these words have just been trashed. Now, it's a good word to, quote unquote, conserve for the environment or conserve over here, but conservative has gotten such a bad rap. And what conservative means is conserving this idea that was put forth in the Declaration of Independence, that all men are created equal with these inalienable rights from our Creator of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Now, I think it's pretty darn noble to try to conserve that. And then the Constitution was put in place to push that forward. There's never been a time in any government in history that has ever put down those principles on a piece of paper and then figured out a way to try to conserve, preserve those. And so a conservative has really gotten a bad rap. But I think that the left, the Democrat Party today has been taken over by radical activists that are stomping all over these precepts of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And so all the way from Blue Dog Democrats to unaffiliated, to libertarians, to Republicans, to conservatives, we all need to unite behind those ideas of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And I think that you're seeing people start to wake up. I know that, you know, sometimes, Steve, you're a little, I don't want to say depressed, but concerned. I'm going to say concerned that people aren't listening. But I think that people are starting to wake up, and that's why we do this show every day, Steve.
Yeah, that's concerned, and maybe even depressed, because sometimes you get caught up in the way the mainstream media, you know, their bias is so in your face, and you tend to get a mindset that, well, there's probably a huge segment of the population that's buying this stuff and not really taking it seriously or taking the time to think it through. So, yeah.
Well, I think that, and that's why we do this show. And we work to get things right. We certainly have opinions about things. If we put something out there that's not correct, we will certainly clarify that. And unlike what you have seen with the New York Times, the Washington Post, and Adam Schiff. And that's why we're going to talk with Tristan Justice in the third and fourth segment. Before we do anything else, I want to say that my heart goes out regarding this World War II vintage airplane crash in Connecticut. This is with the Collings Foundation. You may remember back in the summer that we were able to give away a ride on one of the planes, and I actually rode on one of the bombers as well. I think I was on a B-25, and it was a B-17 that crashed yesterday, and I guess the plane just wasn't getting altitude, and they were trying to get back to the airfield, and they crashed into a building, and seven people were killed in that, and it breaks my heart, because the Collings Foundation loves those planes, and so something really, really went wrong on that. And my heart breaks for everybody on that, because it was absolutely thrilling to get to ride on that bomber that day, and my heart just breaks regarding that, Steve.
Yeah, I knew that there was the what you just referred to that you participated in, and just recently there was another B-17 here on the south end of town at Centennial, doing a very similar type event, and I'm just kind of curious which aircraft is which. I mean, I know yesterday's incident was a B-17, and there certainly aren't that many of them operating anymore.
Yeah, that's for sure. And, you know, those planes were made for young, skinny guys to navigate those, going through those planes. They're not that big, and anyway, my heart just breaks for everybody. It's just really, really tragic. And then the other thing, thank you to each of you listeners. You know, you're treasured, you're valued, you've got a purpose. Go out there and do that today. Strive for excellence. And every day, do something for your heart, soul, mind, and body. And so our quote for today, I was trying to think about newspapers and press and all, and I found something from Calvin Coolidge. And he, as you know, he was an American politician, an attorney, and he served as the 30th president of the United States from 1923 to 1929. And he was one of the few presidents that under his administration, the national debt actually went down. And anyway, he said, I have found out in the course of a long public life that the things I did not say never hurt me. And that was Calvin Coolidge. And then he also was apparently, he was also called Silent Cal because he didn't say very much. And so I thought for today's funny, so this was a story that I heard a while back and I thought it was pretty darn funny. It says, Silent Cal, at a dinner party thrown by a well-known Washington socialite, the hostess approached Coolidge and begged, "You must talk to me, Mr. Coolidge. I made a bet today that I could get more than two words out of you." To which Silent Cal artfully replied, "You lose." So, good sense of humor. Speaking of sense of humor, though, I really don't have a sense of humor on this whole Proposition CC. There is deception all over this thing. John Caldera in Complete Colorado yesterday, and always go to Complete Colorado. They aggregate all the news throughout the state, and then they also have opinion pieces and original content if you click on the banner at the top. And his piece, he said, John Caldera said, Proposition CC, it's a forever end to your tax refunds, and that's a really, really long time. And so let's just think about this. Tim Neville, we had him on the show earlier this week, and he said, let's say you go to McDonald's and you buy $8 worth of stuff, and you give them a $10 bill. And they say, well, we're just going to keep that extra $2 forever. And that is what the state of Colorado is wanting to do with Proposition CC. Now, you may want to give your tax refund up, and that's fine. But I don't think that we should be speaking for the next generation and giving away our tax refunds forever. And that takes us into the next piece, and we'll probably go to break and then come back to that in a moment as well. This was in Colorado Politics. The campaign to let Colorado keep our TABOR, our taxpayer bill of right refunds, was kicked off yesterday. Said backers of a November ballot measure to let the state put more tax money into education and transportation. I'm going to stop right there, Steve. That is what they're saying. There is no guarantee. Casey Becker, who in the well at the State House, she's one of our representatives, said there is no way that they can encumber future legislatures to spend the money that way. And we saw with Ref C that they said the money was going to go to transportation and education, and then they took that money and spent it on other things, this ballooning cost of health and human services. So right there, that is it's a blatant lie. And then I had another friend that actually was talking with Casey Becker personally, and once again, she said to my friend, there is no way that we can guarantee that that is where the money is going to go. But the backers are saying that because they know that education and transportation are important to people. And so without reading any of the rest of it, Steve, I think you vote no just because they're coming at it from a deceptive bent on this. What do you think?
Well, I think nobody knows politics as well as you do in terms of the underside, the nasty side. And you know darn well anybody, you know, who's out in public who makes a stand against CC, and how the other side works. They'll just point the finger and say, well, obviously you're against improving transportation, or you have an issue with education. So they'll paint you as an anti-education, anti-transportation person.
You know, you really nailed it. But I think that's one of the things that I learned. You know, I served for 4 years on city council, is that you need to actually then call it out and say, you are not telling the truth on this. And I'm very frustrated because the person that is the head of this is Dan Ritchie, who, you know, he'd been with DU, the Ritchie Center. And I'm very, very frustrated with him because I expected more out of him. I expected him to put an idea forward and have it be a good idea instead of using deception. And I'm going to talk some more about this when we come back from break, because there's something called Building a Better Colorado, which is funded by him. And there's actually very influential people on both sides of the aisle. And you see the deception that they're using here regarding Proposition CC. I think that they probably did the same thing as they used some of these very influential people to be on the board. And so we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to continue with this discussion.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans who live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day.
Catch all the games at Hooters and enjoy a Butter Bud Light draft with 10 boneless wings, just $10. Dine for two with the pitcher and nachos, just $20.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email Kim at KimMunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim at KimMunson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, KimMunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Hey, Jude.
Hey, welcome back. I am Kim Munson, and we are talking about some important issues. As the second segment, I want to continue to unpack this news release yesterday. Dan Ritchie, who is the, he is the University of Denver's Chancellor Emeritus. He said that this is not just something that's nice. This is something that is needed. He said this is really important for the future of Colorado. And what Michael Fields said, he's with Colorado Rising Action, he says, what those proponents won't tell you is that this is a huge tax increase. It's also a blank check with no guarantee where the money will be spent. And Michael goes on to say, the legislature should prioritize fixing our roads without taking away our Tabor tax refunds forever. Governor Jared Polis led a host of speakers at the kickoff event on Wednesday. With support from voters, he said, Proposition CC will finally allow the state to begin fixing things, Polis said to applause. If you're frustrated about traffic and your commute and potholes, vote yes on CC. Okay, Steve, you just nailed it right there. This is something that people are frustrated with. You know, I've actually seen inaction from time to time from CDOT and, you know, different municipalities in fixing roads and in reducing congestion. An example, Denver, we talked about it, I think, earlier this week, that they are taking, 15th Street and making a lane buses only. And so what is that going to do to congestion there? So they are trying to push people out of their cars. And this Proposition CC is a blank check. I cannot figure out why Dan Ritchie is so supportive of this. And they've got all kinds of money that they are pushing for this so that they can keep our money. But yesterday, Steve, we had Patty Kergan on, who had done an enormous amount of research. And the state of Colorado, just in the first 7 months, had given, and I hate to use given because Helen Raleigh always says government doesn't give anything. They just take less from one person than another. But they had given $105 million in tax incentives in just these enterprise zones. And I tell you, it makes my blood boil that they are picking winners and losers. The big guy gets the break. And here they are with this big dog and pony show yesterday, trying to make sure, trying to take away everyday hardworking Coloradans' tax refunds. There is something inherently wrong about that, Steve.
I look at Paul's words and I kind of cringe too. He's highlighting every, and again, the way the tactics used sometimes just make you like, hey, your blood boil. But he's highlight everything he listed, he rattled off there in that list, are all government. Not cause problems, but government aggravated problems. And you're saying, well, if we can just get a little bit more of your money, we can fix the things that basically we caused in the first place.
Well, and yeah, and then the other thing is if we're so out of money, then why are you giving $105 million in tax incentives to big business? You know, that has to be made up somewhere. And now they want to keep your tax refunds you out there who's working every day, and it's just total deception. So they say it's going to transportation education. There's no guarantee. They start the language off with without increasing taxes. And basically they said, you know, you overpaid and we're going to keep that extra money. I mean, it is deceptive. And so just on that, for them not being honest, vote no on CC. And the problem is they have all kinds of money behind them. If you look at this, the City Council of Denver just voted in favor of this resolution. That's not even the proper role of government. They're supposed to be staying out of that. And then the Metro Chamber of Commerce, they actually have municipalities and counties that pay membership to the Denver Metro Chamber. So here they are taking tax money here. Then over here, they're pushing forward a tax increase. I think there's something really inherently wrong about that also, Steve.
Well, in Michael Fields, you know, in his comments, what the proponents won't tell you that this is a huge tax increase. Everyone, hopefully our listeners remember who our guest was last Friday. It was Douglas Bruce, the author and architect of Tabor. And he nailed it. The very first three words of CC in the actual statement of what it's all about, without raising taxes. Well, I'm sorry, even if you only if the dollar amount is $2 that the state has that's supposed to be mine, and they all of a sudden decide they're not going to give it back, that's essentially a tax increase. I don't know how you can define it any other way.
It is. And another quote here from this this piece. Richie, a former communications industry executive, said Proposition CC was a step in the right direction. He said the question is really simple. Are you willing to give up our small temporary refunds to fund some things that are really needed in this state? Once again, why are they going after the pockets of everyday hardworking people? How about let's level this playing field? Let's lower taxes and regulations across the board. And if we do that, actually the economy will continue to do better. And one of the reasons I submit to you that the Colorado economy has done well is because of Tabor, the Taxpayer Bill of Rights. And Tabor, the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, is just about three things. It's about good manners. It's about consent. It says, hey, PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, if you want to raise our taxes, if you want to incur debt that we have to pay off, or if you want to keep our refunds, and we will let government grow at a very generous formula of population plus inflation. But if you want to keep our tax refunds above that, you just have to ask us. Well, they don't want to ask us. They're asking us now if they can keep them forever. And so if you want to have the state of Colorado keep your tax refunds, you know, just write them a check. But I don't think you should be trying to speak for other hardworking Coloradans, and certainly not taking away the tax refunds of our children forever. There is something really wrong about that. And so going back, I was talking about conservative, you know, these precepts of the American idea. And that idea is to pass something good on to the next generation. And so to pass on a much bigger government, to pass on the fact that you don't have a voice in your tax refunds, there is something, I would say, really immoral about that. And so vote no on Proposition CC. They've got all kinds of money behind it. They've got, you know, they're getting all these people lined up to say that they support it. And so it's going to be a real fight. And, you know, I actually had wanted to talk a little bit about building a better Colorado, but I think that we'll do that on a different day, because this was, again, it was a grand scheme. And it was backed by Dan Ritchie. To go across the state, you use these clickers to, you know, and you have these different questions on how you might support getting rid of Tabor, Gallagher, and Amendment 23. And so we'll delve into that, I think, on a different day, just because that's probably a whole segment in itself. And before we go to break, we've got John Buckingham with Presidential Wealth Management on the line. How are you doing, John?
I am doing great this morning. How about yourself?
Doing just fine. And I think you said, did manufacturing numbers come out yesterday?
Yeah, they did come out a little bit weaker than expected this week. And it's an indicator based on the number of 47.8 that manufacturing sector is kind of going into a contraction. And so caused a lot of concern. The market took a dump yesterday and went down pretty hard. But I think people need to focus on the kind of the bigger sectors of the economy, like the service sector. We'll get numbers later today, and then employment data on Friday, kind of give us a better indication of where things are going overall for the U.S. economy right now.
So, John, why do you think the manufacturing numbers were a little weaker?
Well, it has to do with the trade war implications are starting to weigh in on, you know, export data or projections, I should say, in terms of where the larger companies in the manufacturing sector are going to be exporting overseas. And it is slowing down, and that's to be expected anytime you have a trade talks going on for this long without resolution. Companies are going to get more conservative. They're going to get tight. They're not going to spend as much. They're not going to expand as much. And so that's why we're seeing a contraction there.
What do you think this means for the political landscape? I know that's a tough question.
Well, it is. I think in part you saw President Trump's reaction, you know, telling the Fed that they need to move faster to cut, which, you know, as we've discussed in the past, isn't really a good idea based on the overall economy. But to his point, you know, interest rates are so much lower overseas that it's causing a slight competitive advantage for Europe. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, we have to look at the overall long-term economic growth and its potential and not get caught up in that low interest rate trap.
Okay, so you don't feel the sky is falling?
No, I think that, you know, we're getting panics because, again, the market doesn't like uncertainty. And the longer we have issues get protracted into, you know, the trade wars especially, it just causes people to get nervous. And when people get nervous, they base decisions off emotion rather than data. And that's where, you know, you can get caught up in the wrong side of the market swings.
Okay. And on the big picture, though, I know that on the short term, this is kind of rough regarding the trade stuff that's going on. But I really do think that over the many administrations, both Republican and Democrat, they've never stepped up to do anything about that. So I think that we just need to kind of buckle up and get through this, because I do think it's the right thing to do. So, John Buckingham, I so appreciate your insight on all this. You and your colleagues over there at Presidential Wealth Management, you know, I know take great care in working with individuals and helping them be successful from an economic standpoint. So, John Buckingham, thank you so much. People can reach you at 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
That sounds great. See you then.
Okay, we're going to go to break. When we come back, Tristan Justice is with The Federalist, and he's written a couple of really important pieces, and you won't want to miss this. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for news, not propaganda? Ready for a news source you can actually trust? How about a news site that doesn't want to sell you a subscription? Visit CompleteColorado.com to see all the latest news from around Colorado. Complete Colorado's staff scours news sources from around the state and nation to bring you only the top stories that affect you right here in our great state. Updated three times a day, CompleteColorado.com has full-time reporters doing original investigations and reporting like newspapers used to do, as well as opinion and political commentary from a variety of Colorado voices. And CompleteColorado.com is the only place to read columnist Mike Rosen. Always fresh content, always free, always informed. CompleteColorado.com, your complete source for Colorado news.
Don't miss Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Join Kim Munson at Water's Edge Winery in Centennial or Colorado Cork and Keg in Castle Rock. In Fort Collins, attend Vino and Veritas at Ginger and Baker. Kim Munson would like to thank Presidential Wealth Management Loveland, Presidential Wealth Management Greenwood Village, Tina Francone with Straightforward Shooting, and Grand Lake U.S. Constitution Week for their generous support. Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Sign up today.
In partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Someone.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Let's have a conversation today with Tristan Justice. He is a writer with The Federalist. He is focusing on the 2020 presidential campaigns. He's also written for the Washington Examiner, the Daily Signal. And he graduated from George Washington University, where he majored in political science and minored in journalism. Tristan Justice, welcome to the Kim Munson Show.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
If folks go to The Federalist and put in your name, Tristan Justice, there are some very important pieces as you're watching what's going on out there. But, you know, this whole thing with the Ukraine call and Trump has been reported, I think, somewhat deceptively, and you really kind of nail that in your piece. You said the New York Times and the Washington Post front pages deceptively sliced the Ukraine call transcript to implicate Trump. This is bad journalism, in my opinion. What are your thoughts on this, Tristan Justice?
Yeah, so essentially what happened is last week, after the transcript became public, the New York Times and the Washington Post, both on the front pages of their papers, they published bits and pieces of the transcript to essentially frame the president for making for requesting a favor that the president didn't actually ask for. So what happened was they literally cut up the transcript and put select sentences on the front page to, and omitted key context in the transcript that would have shown the headlines of these papers to be demonstrably false and misleading. So one thing that the president said in the transcript that each paper pointed out very prominently on the papers is the sentence from President Trump speaking to President Zelensky, "I would like you to do us a favor." And then it skips about, each paper skips about 500 words to link that favor with the president requesting that the Ukrainian leader investigate Joe Biden and his son Hunter and their business dealings in Ukraine, when that's not actually what President Trump said. Even if the newspapers had even included and highlighted the rest of the paragraph, the rest of what the president had said, just a few more sentences, then the readers would have seen that the favor that the president asked was for assistance with the Department of Justice in their 2016 probe of election meddling in 2016 that originated in Ukraine.
Okay, so what would you say to that everyday hardworking person that is just kind of getting these snippets? You know, and they see this headline with the New York Times, they see this with the Washington Post. What is so critical about the 540 words that they left out? What is important that people know?
Well, it's really important to understand that what the New York Times and Washington Post reported is just plainly false. And I would encourage them to come read us at The Federalist, where they can get, you know, the full picture of what is actually happening surrounding this phone call. It's incredibly important to know that what Donald Trump asked from the Ukrainian leader was for assistance with the Department of Justice's probe of 2016 election meddling, and that the favor asked was not to investigate Joe Biden in Ukraine. Trump mentioned Joe Biden in Ukraine in the transcript, but not until later. And Trump suggested that if Ukraine wanted to weed out corruption in the country, they look at Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. This is, look, President Trump requesting that another foreign leader to wipe out corruption in their own country is not a bad thing. And it's incredibly important not to take the focus off of Joe Biden here. I mean, Joe Biden's son sat on the board of a Ukrainian energy company for $50,000 a month, despite having absolutely no prior experience in the energy industry. And while Joe Biden was vice president, he even bragged about pushing for a Ukrainian prosecutor's dismissal who was getting ready to investigate Hunter Biden and Burisma, the Ukrainian energy company. So, I mean, if anything, the big story here is really the interactions with the Bidens and Ukrainian officials here.
Okay, Tristan Justice with The Federalist. This is just me thinking on this, is that it's starting to get pretty hot here for Hunter Biden and for Joe Biden on this. So it seems to me like there's been a narrative that's been pushed out to accuse Donald Trump of exactly what was going on with Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden. And it seems to me like whoever it is, and I don't know who's pulling the strings, they're like, you know what, let's get out ahead of this. Let's accuse Trump of this, because then when the real truth comes out, people are going to be confused and they're not going to know what's true. What do you think about that idea, Tristan?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. There is a coordinated effort in media to frame the president, and that's being, you know, pushed and harnessed by the Democrats that are now just going full steam ahead, pushing for the president's impeachment. Look, Democrats started talking about impeachment 2 weeks after Trump was inaugurated. And then they came up with this Russian collusion conspiracy theory that dominated media and press coverage for 3 years, which turned out to be nothing but a hoax. And now the Russian collusion conspiracy didn't work. And then now Democrats are running to this call with Ukraine and selectively using the president's words to frame the president for making requests that he just never made. So now that, you know, Russia didn't work, so many other allegations Democrats have made have not worked. And now I think the Democrats are just getting desperate and trying to use the Ukraine phone call to frame the president for something he just didn't do. And the media reporting of this has been incredibly misleading, adding fuel to ridiculous claims of what Democrats say are credible charges for impeachment. So, I mean, the media coverage of this has been absurd. With legacy papers, with, you know, some of the largest audiences in the country, are slicing up the transcripts, putting bias in full view. And CNN last week did the same thing and omitted 540 words of the transcript. So, I mean, the media is complicit in this framing of the president.
Well, and so you have a minor in journalism. And, you know, one of the things that I learned is journalism should be searching for truth. And, you know, certainly there are times you don't get things right. If we, you know, get something wrong here on the show, we work to clarify that so that we're always searching for truth. But these trusted, quote-unquote, or legacy newspapers, CNN, if they are willing to do that with this, then I don't think that we can trust anything that they're doing. And they're not searching for journalistic truth. I think they've sold their journalistic souls down the river on this kind of stuff. And Americans need to say, wait a minute, I don't think I can trust those news sources any longer, because they are slicing and dicing the truth to try to get to a narrative that they want me to hear. And I think that people should walk away from these papers and CNN.
Yeah, I mean, going to George Washington University, I went to a school where a lot of my classmates ended up at these outlets, and I think a lot of them are really genuine and really trying to, I guess, find what they imagine as the truth. But what we're actually seeing, what I've observed, even just my time in D.C. and going to school with these students, is that we've gotten to a point where we're not looking for an objective truth. We're looking for our own truth. We're looking for facts to fit our own narrative of what we see the picture to be. I think it's imperative that, you know, outlets like the Federalist ask questions that just other outlets aren't asking. We broke news last week that the intelligence community changed the whistleblower requirements just days before this whistleblower complaint was filed, from where prior the whistleblower complaint required firsthand knowledge, but they changed those rules just days before this complaint was filed, so that firsthand knowledge wasn't required. Because as we've reported, and a couple of the conservative outlets have, this entire report is based entirely on hearsay. The whistleblower even admits in his first page that he had no firsthand knowledge, no direct knowledge of the events that he describes in the complaint. And as we've seen, the complaint has been contradicted by the transcript in numerous ways.
Wow. So, Tristan Justice, I think what I'd like to do is go to break, because this whole whistleblower thing, it seems to me like it very possibly could be a fabrication, and that once again, it's just trying to cloud the narrative
for everyday hardworking people out there to try to discredit President Trump, to not focus on many of the things that he has done that have actually made everyday people's lives better, like rolling back rules and regulations, like lowering taxes. Those things are important to everyday people. And so what we're seeing on the Democrat side of the aisle is, instead of trying to go to work every day as representatives of the people to make sure that they're protecting their rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, they are trying to take this president down. And I didn't catch this until you just said this. I think you said this just a few days before the whistleblower complaint came out. The rules were changed that it did not have to be firsthand knowledge. Did I hear you say that?
Yes, that's correct. The intelligence community secretly gutted the requirement of firsthand whistleblower knowledge in their rules and regulations.
Okay, we're going to go to break. This is Kim Munson. We're having a conversation with Tristan Justice. He is a writer with The Federalist, and this is absolutely astounding, so we will be right back.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
Enjoy three movies under the stars, all for only $9. Angel Has Fallen, It, Chapter 2, and Scary Stories. The 88 Drive-In is moving to their fall schedule, so they will be open Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Thursday, but closed Tuesday and Wednesday. The box office opens at 6 p.m. Friday, Saturday, and 6:30 p.m. Sunday, Monday, Thursday. For more information, visit 88drivein.net.
Try to see it my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go?
Welcome back. I am Kim Munson. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show, and I'm thrilled to be having a conversation with Tristan Justice, who is a writer with the Federalist, which is a publication that is searching for truth. And before we went to break, you mentioned something that I hadn't quite realized, and that was the Intelligence Committee. This would be the House Intelligence Committee, right?
The intelligence community. I think it's a DNI protocol. The DNI's regulations.
Okay. You said that they changed it. So who changed that exactly shortly before this whistleblower complaint came out? Who changed that exactly? Was it you know, congressmen, or who was it exactly that changed that?
Yeah, so according to Sean Davis's reporting, the co-founder of the Federalist, internal properties of the intelligence community's inspector general, so federal bureaucratic agencies' guidelines, it used to require that the intelligence community's whistleblower complaints required firsthand knowledge, but those requirements were changed just days before the Trump whistleblower complaint was filed, to where whistleblower complaints no longer required firsthand knowledge. And as we see in the complaint filed against the president last week, we see that the whistleblower even admits to having no direct knowledge of any of the events described and lodged throughout the complaint, and that he relied entirely on secondhand sources, which we see now have been contradicted throughout the transcript.
I'm wondering if there really is a whistleblower, but this is big, even though it seems kind of small, and that is bureaucrats change these requirements just days before this whistleblower complaint comes out so that they can now have this narrative out there. It's based, it looks to me like the Russia story all over again. And, you know, we spent millions of dollars, Mueller spent millions of dollars in several years, and that there was nothing there, but it created all kinds of confusion
in everyday hardworking people's minds. And I think that this is really probably trying to gear up to take shots at Trump regarding the 2020 election. Try to discredit him. What do you think, Tristan?
Oh, it's almost exactly like the Russian conspiracy theory that we saw. I mean, we're seeing the same complaints lodged by the same people with the same people in the media reporting on the same misleading facts, taking whatever the Democrats are throwing at them to be true. This is Russia collusion 2.0, and it's hurting our country. I mean, we saw, you know, last years we saw nonstop attention being paid to the Russia probe that turned out to be nothing but a conspiracy theory, and it got in the way of Congress being productive. It got in the way of real work being done by real public servants, and so it's distractive, it's divisive, and it's hurting our country. I mean, it's almost like, and it was you know, it's crazy to me that this year, following the Mueller report, you know, these outlets came out and said, well, you know, we gave too much coverage of the Russia story. Well, you know, it seems to me that we've learned nothing from this because we're going down the same road again. Just a year and a half before, not even more than a year and a month before the next presidential election. So I think just the fact that every prior shot the Democrats have taken at impeachment has failed, it's pushed them to come up with this false narrative regarding this conversation with the Ukraine president. And to me, it just shows that this country just must have learned nothing from the Russia story.
Well, on that note regarding Ukraine, do you think that Joe Biden and Hunter Biden are at risk when the truth comes out? Or have you thought that much about that, Tristan?
Yeah, I mean, this is not a good look for Joe Biden. And I mean, I think the longer that this stays in the press, I think the worse Joe Biden is going to look going forward into the next phases of the Democratic primary. I mean, he's the front runner now, but Elizabeth Warren, Massachusetts Senator, she's rising rapidly in the polls. Two polls have shown that she is ahead in both Iowa and New Hampshire, within the margin of error, but she's still ahead narrowly. So as other candidates begin to pick up steam and Biden begins to struggle, the story is not helping the Biden campaign whatsoever. And I think there are real questions to be asked about Biden when he was vice president, shutting down the prosecution of his son's of the energy company that his sons sat on their board.
So what do you see? You're in Washington, D.C. What do you think? I mean, it looks to me like there really is some kind of a deep state. And it also seems to me, Tristan, like there is some kind of talking points that are put out like in the morning. They say, hey, we are now going to go with the Ukraine call. And it seems like then you've got Adam Schiff. You'd mentioned here that Adam Schiff made up his own transcript of the call between Trump and the Ukraine president. You've got the New York Times and the Washington Post deceptively slicing that up. I mean, is there some kind of a call every morning that pushes this out to politicians and pundits? This is what we're going to talk about now?
Well, I think the talking points can be found in the mainstream media. I don't think, I don't think there's a, There's an underground operation going on, but I think it's still a coordinated effort among Democrats and many elites in the media that are pushing to impeach the president because their prior efforts just haven't worked. I mean, gosh, we're a year and a month away from the next presidential election, but Democrats and many in the media seem to still not want to accept that they just lost an election. And, I used to be I used to be a skeptic of the deep state, actually. I used to think, well, you know, these are just bureaucrats, whatever. But, you know, after talking to a bunch of sources here in D.C. and after talking to a bunch of people in agencies who themselves had told me the same thing, that they were at first skeptical, but then worked in very high-level places of government, who said, no, the deep state is absolutely there. It absolutely exists. I mean, the Obama administration controlled, you know, all levels of government for 8 years, and putting in power a lot of career bureaucrats who just still haven't. You still haven't left. And so I think, you know, 3 years in the Trump administration, they just haven't caught up to that. So, you know, I used to be a skeptic of the deep state, as many other people and many other sources that I've spoken to working in agencies now. But I think there's absolutely merit to that argument that there are very high level bureaucrats who will always oppose Trump on anything he does, no matter what.
So, Maybe I can't ask a journalist this question, but I'll ask it, and if you can't answer, that's fine. What is your opinion of Donald Trump?
Well, you know, I as a staffer, yeah, we're, you know, we try to keep who we vote for private, et cetera.
Okay.
But you know, I mean,
fair enough.
I will say this. You know, it's no secret that. You know, I'm a conservative Republican, and I think President Donald Trump has done a lot of really great things for this country. I don't agree with the president on everything he's done.
I don't either.
Right. But you know, I'm allowed to be opinionated in this job. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great things that have come out of this administration that we wouldn't have seen under Hillary Clinton by any means. I mean, historic tax cuts, historic deregulation. Conservative justices in the federal courts. There's a lot of really good things that Trump has done for this country that no Democrat who ran in 2016 or running now would ever come close to accomplishing.
You know, I've been surprised as well. I jokingly said out of the 17 different Republican candidates that Donald Trump was my 18th. I didn't really know that much about him. But as I have actually looked at policies, I really do think that he is cares about everyday hardworking Americans, no matter what the descriptor is. And if the economy continues to do better and better, it doesn't pick, you know, one subset of people over another subset. It raises all boats. We're seeing historic black unemployment numbers, or employment numbers, I should say, and historic Hispanic employment numbers, women. And this is something, this tide raises all boats. And so it's really frustrating to me to see bureaucrats, unelected people that are unaccountable to the voters, that are trying to control a narrative that is not honest, that is deceptive, in order to try to get this president defeated in 2020. And everyday hardworking people, you may not agree with Donald Trump. You may not like some of his tweets. You may not like a lot of that kind of stuff. But when you look at what he does, he gets up every day. I think he rolls his sleeves up and he goes to work for the American people. I think that goes a long way with me, Tristan.
It does with me, too. I agree.
Okay, we have let's just do one other quick story then. How about this one that you did regarding Adam Schiff? Where you said that he made up his own transcript of the call between Trump and the Ukraine president. You know, Adam Schiff was elected to go to Washington to, you know, work to represent his people. Instead, it seems like he's totally focused on Trump. So we've got about 3 minutes. Unpack this particular piece that you wrote for The Federalist.
Yeah, so California Congressman Adam Schiff, he's the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. And last week they held a hearing with the acting director of the Department of National Intelligence, Mr. McGuire, about the director's handling of this anonymous whistleblower complaint. And during his opening statement, Congressman Schiff flat out made up words of the president's mouth. He gave a retelling of the transcript between the call between President Zelensky and President Trump, and blatantly made up a fictional storyline between the two leaders. I mean, and the congressman later, and after he was called out for it by other members on the panel, Congressman Schiff came out and said, well, it was obviously supposed to be parody, but there was nothing obvious about it, and people are probably going to take his opening remarks as true. And again, this is why it's so important to have this conservative media infrastructure to provide the counterbalance of the false narrative that we're seeing in so much of the media, because if it wasn't for other congressmen calling out Congressman Schiff for making up blatant falsehoods, and with conservative media drawing attention to that to label them as false, then I think those statements would have gone unchecked. So it was an incredible moment to watch as Congressman Schiff just put words into the president's mouth and just lied about this phone call, again, misleading the public on this.
Boy, I tell you, you know, it reminds me of when you might catch somebody not telling the truth and then they go, well, I was just kidding. You know, and it seems like mm-hmm. that's exactly what Representative Schiff was doing right here. Tristan Justice, it has really been a delight to have you on the show. And the pieces that you're writing at The Federalist, I know you're searching for truth and really appreciate that. And people can find all of the different things that you're writing at The Federalist, and that's Tristan Justice. So thank you so much. And what's the best way to reach you? How can people reach you if they have questions or follow you?
Yeah, well, they can email me at tristan@thefederalist.com. It's tristan@thefederalist.com. Or they can follow me on Twitter at Justice Tristan. That's Justice like Just Ice. And then Tristan, T-R-I-S-T-A-N.
Okay, Tristan Justice with The Federalist, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Okay. And today's quote is from Calvin Coolidge. He says, "Wherever despotism abounds, the sources of public information are the first to be brought under its control. Wherever the cause of liberty is making its way, one of its highest accomplishments is the guarantee of the freedom of the press." So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive, I was born free. I was born free. I was born free.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.